We have been in a series called Sin Exposed. And if you remember, if you were here, we looked at anger, and then we looked at coveting last Sabbath, and today we're looking at pride. And the thing about being exposed, we're exposing our sins, our struggles, and knowing that God is continuing to extend His grace, but His grace is doing a work in us, we pray that we are not stuck or stagnant, but we allow Him to continue to form us and shape us. And of course, when our sin is exposed, we can run boldly to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there in repentance, surrender and ask forgiveness and be blessed. And so we have wonderful options in Christ, and He's waiting for us. The other thing about pride is it is really a foundational sin, in that probably most, if not all, other sins are born out of that. And we've been talking about Ephesians 5, but he's, you know, where the word says expose sin, let the light come in. And then at the end of that passage, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So important that we allow the Lord to do a transformational work in us. So pride is this dark snare, sinful dark snare, and it's a struggle because it kind of is sinister, and it kind of slides into our thoughts, and it whispers about arrogance and self-exalting and all kinds of things, and we get caught up with that so very, very easily. And of course, we know that Satan used, last week, how Satan used coveting with Eve, and we touched on this, but we'll do it again today. He also used pride, enticing Eve, that she too could be like God. And the text we looked at was Genesis 3, and I'll read to you one of those verses. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so the temptation was, one of them was, that she could be like God. And so as pride welled up within our enemy Satan, it welled up within Eve, and she gave in to it. The thing about pride is it really, as it takes root, more and more it begins to isolate us from God, and it prevents us from becoming a people that are solely and fully devoted to Him. And I think that's one of the reasons that God hates the sin of pride. He knows it's such a stumbling block to us in so many different ways, and He knows that left unchecked, unrepented, that it just wreaks havoc in our lives. And the thing is that we begin to exalt self rather than God. And instead of God receiving the glory that He so deserves, we begin seeking our own praise, and we seek glory for ourselves. In a book on prayer, E.M. Bounds wrote this, and listen closely. I thought it's a bit sobering, but it says, today, somehow, self, not God, rules in the Holy of Holies. Self-ability in some wicked form has defamed and violated the temple, which should be held sacred for God. No matter how hard we try to cover it up, excuse it, or justify it, pride produces the same result, arrogance and rebellion against God. So pride, the thing about pride again is that we can so easily be blinded to it. And if you looked at some of the struggle, relational struggles, different struggles you have in life, if you really sat down and allowed the Word and the Spirit of God to do a work in you and look at what was the root to that issue, oftentimes you'll see that it was an issue of pride in our hearts, and we were just blinded to it. I want to read this to you. This is Romans 2, and we'll read verses 21 through 24. It says, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And in regards to pride, I think the unbelievers can keenly see the pride that we struggle with. And if we are talking about the greatness of God and the humility and power of Christ and that we are here to serve, but we're talking all of that, but if we're living a life of pride, the unbeliever, he sees it. And the name of God indeed is blasphemed, right? So they see our hypocrisy. And a lot of our hypocrisy is wrapped up in this sin of pride. Of course, both James and Peter say these sobering words. They both say, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, listen to this. There are seven kind of facets, but they're all wrapped up in the idea of pride and humility. Verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So there's seven things there that are mentioned. Younger, of course, submit to your elders. And then he says, all of you, be submissive to one another. This idea of clothing ourselves with humility. And then he says, God resists the proud. And then God gives grace to who? The humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And there is so much. Our victory really is humbling ourselves under the almighty hand of God, right? And that we trust him, that he'll exalt us. He'll take care of anything that we need in his timing and so forth. But really taking that passage and spending time and praying to the Lord, I think, is critical. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6, because this is there's a lot of practical application in that passage. And then I want to read to you, this is Proverbs 16 and the first part of verse 17. You're familiar probably with this. It says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, even seven, are an abomination to him. Number one on the list, a proud look. A proud look. So we just kind of laid a foundation here. Let's think about this for a moment. When we consider that God hates pride, hates our being pride, I mean, that alone should be enough to drive us to our knees. Lord, I'm so sorry. Please deal with me. Help me to be humble before you and humble before my fellow man. And we should ask, Lord, where is this pride in me? Reveal it that I can deal with it, Lord, that you would deal with it in me. And the Word of God says, he saves the humble but brings low those whose eyes are haughty or that are prideful, right? God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. We just read that. Everyone who exalts himself, God says, will be humbled. And Psalm 119 says, you rebuke the arrogant. Of course, there are many other verses that talk about this, the critical nature of pride and humility. And so just in what we've read so far, that, you know, God hates it. It's an abomination. It blasphemes the name of God. It causes all kinds of relational strife. It hinders the gospel. All of those things, that should be enough that we say, okay, that's it. Let's go home. This is horrible. Okay, we got to work on this. We got to do something with this, right? And indeed, we do. But isn't it interesting that as a believer, and you probably are familiar with those passages, those verses that I read about pride and humility, but if you're honest, if you're sincere, you know that you struggle with this. Pride is behind a lot of the things that you say, a lot of the things that you do, a lot of your twisted thoughts. They're all wrapped up in this. And so here we are. We should know better, but we don't. So let's put some definitions here. Pride, at its core, a definition would be an inaccurate or inflated view of who I am, of myself. Okay, pride. Proverbs 30:32 says, if you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, what should we do? It says, put your hand over your mouth. Be quiet. Quit saying those prideful things, right? If you have been foolish and exalting yourself, put your hand over your mouth. So it's this thinking or verbalizing or acting out an inaccurate or inflated view of myself. Pride. And in the New Testament, pride is almost exclusively mentioned in a negative way. It's used with as being haughty and in a disdainful way. Listen to, this is 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now remember, okay, what's going to be listed next? You may know this verse. Perilous times will come. The last days, men will be lovers of themselves. That sounds prideful. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And so, you know, as time goes on, that's going to be, and we see it even now, of course, the struggle we have, the culture has, of being so prideful, so self-centered. What about humility? Definition for humility. At its core is an accurate view of myself and of God. When I have an accurate view of myself and of God, that takes me to a place of truth. Truth about who God is and truth about who I am in relation to Him. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of himself soberly, for God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." I love this. This is Benjamin Franklin. He says, "Pride, perceiving humility to be honorable, often borrows her cloak." And we're going to talk about that idea. There's a pseudo, fake humility that is really pride. But I love Benjamin understood that. Pride, perceiving humility to be honorable, is often borrows her cloak. So pride takes all kinds of different forms. It finds its way into the facets of our being and our thinking so easily in so many ways. Some people try to prove that they're not proud, but in proving that they're not proud, sometimes they end up being prideful. We know, I think, in a sense, when we appear to others, seemingly appear to others as being humble, that things go better in relationships with other people. But if our motives are still the same, if we're just concerned about how we appear to other people, we're still pridefully acting out. And I said there's all kinds of pride. Just to get you thinking a little bit, there's like a social pride, right? Keeping up with the Joneses. There's a spiritual pride. There's a self-righteousness. Financial pride, you know, impressing others with what we have or our wealth. Political pride, wrapped up in exalting something or trying to be politically correct or whatever. Sexual pride, always wanting to somehow be attracted to the opposite sex. Cultural pride, impressing people with maybe your knowledge of people and art and what are, there's a pride of pedigree, placing too much emphasis on our background. Educational pride, impressing others with our degrees. Intellectual pride, always needing to prove how much you know and how intelligent you are. Pride of your good looks, overly concerned with your appearance, how you dress, your figure, your physique, your hair, or your lack thereof. How about national pride? Sometimes being overly patriotic, not only feeling good about your country and being patriotic, but being overly patriotic. Racial pride, proud of your skin color. Theological pride, feeling superior because of the rightness of your doctrine. And it's not just about what is right, but it's who is right. I am right. And so it becomes this prideful thing rather than just what is the truth of God and sharing that in a graceful, humble way. So I think we have to conclude as we look at all these different things that we struggle to see pride in our hearts. And sometimes part of that can be, well, I think I'm doing okay with pride. I don't think that's that big of an issue with me. And we could pat ourselves on the back a little bit and feel kind of comfortable. But really, it's at that moment that we probably should be most alert to what's really going on inside of us, and put on the glasses of Christ-like humility and compare ourselves to Christ and to our Lord God, and realize that there is really, outside of Christ, there's nothing good that dwells in my flesh, and I desperately need God's Word and His Spirit to lay me open and flush out this pride and this self-centeredness and this secret pride and its symptoms. What are the symptoms of pride? And that's where we'll really spend some time today. What are the symptoms? How do I know if I might be struggling with pride, and to what degree, and so forth? So the first one, this would be a symptom: never admitting a weakness rather than delighting in your weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. A lot of us do. We struggle with admitting our lack, our weaknesses, and therefore, and we cover them up or we embellish in some way, but we don't like to admit our weaknesses, and that, of course, is prideful. How about this one? Always being concerned about your rights rather than being willing to yield. Listen to Philippians 2. This is verses 5 through 8. You know, as we look at what Christ yielded, what He gave up, it should inspire us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. And so our society, our upbringing just breeds this into us that we, you know, that's my right, this is mine, and this is, I deserve this, and you can't do that. And we just well up with pride, and rather than stepping back and humbly sometimes just yielding. Boy, we struggle with that in so many different ways. How about this simply being a prideful fault finder? Oh, how easily we find fault with other people. I could tell you all kinds of faults that you have. And I'm willing to do that with much exuberance and zealousness and passion, right? But what about fault finding of myself and my own heart and my own, what's going on in my own head, my own thoughts? I got to tell you, as I went through all of these, it was very sobering to me, because over and over again, I thought, there's Brian. There is Brian. Fault finding. So pride kind of causes us to filter out the evil that we might see in ourselves, but it also causes us to filter out the goodness in others. And as we sift them in a way, other people, we often only let their faults shine through. And it's easy for us to dwell on those things and not dwell on the good things about other people. Their faults, that's what, they irritate me. And I, you know, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to bring that up. And that's, you know, such a prideful thing. So a proud person, he shows that by his fault finding with the other saints, the other believers. Eminently a humble Christian really has so much work to do at home in his own heart and his own mind that really consumes. Should consume a lot of his effort and his passion, rather than being so busy. He won't have time, because he's so busy trying to allow the Lord to transform him. He doesn't have time to find the faults of other people. But somehow, some way, we find the time. I can make the time for you, sister, to find your fault. I'll do it. I can make the time. How about pridefully seeking recognition and praise for yourself, rather than allowing it to kind of come from others or come from the Lord. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I'll say something or tell somebody about something, and then later on I'll ask myself, or the Lord probably is asking me, why did you say that? Why did you mention that? What was that about? What was behind that? What was the motivation? You know what it was? It's pride. I was trying to exalt myself. I wanted you to know what I know. I wanted you to see what I have. I wanted you to whatever. We allow that to happen in so many different ways over and over again. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, right? I want to do it with my mouth. Not your own mouth. A stranger, not your own lips. Proverbs 27:2. What about a harsh spirit? We can get so critical with people, can't we? So harsh with people. Calling them out, getting angry, getting frustrated. And a lot of that, behind most of that, is pride. And we speak with towards others' sins with such contempt and irritation and frustration and judgment. And so pride is, you know, it's kind of crouching inside the belittling of others' struggles that we might do, or us talking about their weaknesses or things that are going on. And I love this idea. Someone put, Christians who are but fellow worms. And if you haven't read, the Word of God talks about us, Jacob, and there's two or three places, talks about us as just being worms. David Larson, you're a worm. But so am I, right? Some of us might be more on the sluggish, slugs, but still we're in the worm family, right? We're worms. So Christians, when they realize we're just fellow worms, right? We're made of dust, all of us. We all bleed red. But we should treat one another with humility and not haughtiness and not pride, especially when we look at the humility of Christ and the gentleness that Christ has beckoned us and lavished us with. So a harsh spirit, you can find, and isn't it how quickly that can come? We usually don't always work up to that harsh spirit. Man, it happens in a flash sometimes. You know, people's stupidity, people's, we can make these lists of, it's always other people though. Never me, right? Never me. How about the pride of just being defensive? Oh, we can get defensive so quick, again, just in a flash. Rather than standing in the strength of Christ's righteousness alone and having confidence in that place where we don't have to defend ourselves against the attacks of other people or against the lies of the enemy. We feel like we have to lash out, that we have to come back, that we have to, you know, we don't have to do that. A humble person, in general, you don't have to do. So true humility is, when it attacked, is not knocked off balance, right? It's not thrown into this defensive posture where we come back at them, even if we're challenged or rebuked, but instead we continue to do what's right. We continue to walk in truth. We continue to walk in Christ, and we trust and we know that God's going to work this all out. I don't have to do this. So for the humble Christian, especially as time goes on in the end times, the more that the world is against us, in a sense, maybe the more, and I'm talking about personally, the more silent that we should be. And it should lead us into our prayer room. Of course, in our prayer room, it's there that we will not be still. We will not be silent before God. But as all these things are happening, we don't have to lash out. We don't have to be defensive all the time. We don't have to be worried about, well, they have to know this, that isn't true, and I'm gonna make my case. And no, you don't have to make your case. There is a judge. There's a righteous judge. He will make your case. Would you trust him? You don't have to do this. Oh, I want to do it. I feel called by God to do it. Probably not. You called yourself to do that, your prideful self to do that. How about continually comparing yourselves with others? Don't we do that? And sometimes it's, very subtly. But that goes on, I think, so much more in what people have, don't have, the way they look or don't look. Or we're constantly, probably in ways we don't even realize, constantly comparing ourselves with others. And a lot of that is wrapped up in pride. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." If you want to compare yourself to someone, compare yourself to Christ, the perfect Lamb, and let that inspire you and send you running to Him. How about this pride of kind of a superficial hypocrisy? You know, when pride lives in our hearts, we're more concerned with other people's perceptions and conclusions, what they think about us. We're much, much more concerned about that than the reality of my own heart, of my own life, of my own issues. And we fight the sins that have an impact on how others view us. Have you thought about this? Think about this. See if it's true in your life. It is true in my life. As I thought about this, that is true. I hate it that it's true, but it's true. I have great diligence on the issues and sins that are much more visible, that others view. And I want to make peace. I want to work. I want to be transformed. I want to deal with that. But these other ones that are not highly visible, that there's maybe not so much accountability, I don't have as much concern and diligence towards those things that happen in secret that nobody can tell from my outward appearance. Why are we like that? Because we're prideful. We're prideful. And we pat ourselves on the back. Boy, I'm working on this. I used to throw stuff. I don't throw stuff anymore. People come to me and they say, "Wow, that's great. You know, you're not throwing hammers and stuff anymore. That's wonderful. I'm feeling so good about myself. And this is great and wonderful and good." And so patting myself. But now, and patting myself on the back and focusing on those visible things that I did because I'm prideful, because I want you to see me in a good light. Now I'm letting these other things go that you don't know about. What's that all about? That's all about prideful. It's about hypocrisy, right? How about pride in finding your greatness in kind of exercising power over others rather than serving them? We like to be in the know. We like to control. We like to tell others what to do rather than serve. Matthew 20, verse 25 says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. And those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant.'" We talked about a bond servant downstairs. That was one of the descriptions that the Apostle Paul gave himself. But is that, do we embrace that servanthood? Serving my Lord, serving my brothers and my sisters, serving my wife or my husband, serving my family. Do I find greatness? Do I find blessings in that? Or am I wanting to exercise power and control and authority over other people? How about the pride of presumption before God? Because humility approaches God with a humble assurance in what Christ has accomplished. And some of us have no shortage of boldness before God, which is good in a way. But the thing is, we have to be careful in that we can forget that He is our Almighty God, righteous, pure, holy, sovereign. And we can get presumptuous before Him. And we can be rejoicing before Him, praising Him, But we also need to be careful that we give heed to verses like this. This is in Psalm 211 says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. If God becomes just a buddy, we ought to be careful. Yeah, he can be our friend, our Savior, and we can be intimate with him. But we can also begin to lure him in a prideful way, bringing him down and forgetting who he really, really is. Here's the other thing. There are others that feel no confidence. There are others that are maybe too confident before God in a sense, but they don't recognize his holiness and his righteousness. We talked about that. But there's others that feel no confidence before God. The first group, we're saying, is prideful. But what about this second group that have no confidence? It sounds like humility, but let's think about this for a moment. Maybe the reality is that it is also a symptom, a red flag of pride. Because when you think about it, we're questioning the grace of God. We're questioning, in a sense, what God has said. We're questioning that the blood of Christ truly is redeeming. And who are we to question that? And that, in a way, can become prideful. And in all of that, we can become focused again on ourselves. Oh, he can't forgive me. I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel. You don't know where I've been and what I've done. Oh, God can't forgive me. Yes, he can. He has through Christ, and you need to accept that and embrace that and walk in that. And if you don't, in a sense, there is pride there as well. How about the pride of just the desperation for attention and approval from other people? Do you feel that at times? It's there. You may not always recognize it, but it's there. This hunger for attention, this hunger for respect and attention from other people. And there's all kinds of forms and ways that we act this out, and we find ourselves guilty of that. And maybe it sounds like a shameful boasting about ourselves. And so, but what are we after? We're after attention and approval. Maybe it's being unable to say no to people. And the reason that I won't say no to people is because I want to be needed. And that can be a form of pride. Maybe it looks like being obsessive about being married or fantasizing about a better marriage because you have this, in that context of marriage, you feel like I should be or I could be adored and loved beyond my imagination. And so that can become a prideful thing. Or maybe it looks like you being haunted by your desire for things, for the right car, the right house, the right position at work, the right title at work. But all of this, you're seeking the glory of men, of other people, and not God. And Galatians 1:10 says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If we're a bondservant of Christ, our loving, gracious master, he is the one that we want to please. And we don't have to be worried about running around trying to please everyone else. It doesn't mean that we won't serve them and bless them and love them and help them. But sometimes it's consuming to us. And those kind of people, they are stressed and they're tired and they're weary. And they often feel like people don't care about them and don't love them. And they're clamoring after this all the time. Kind of related to this, I'd like us to think about boasting and self-pity. Okay, so boasting is often the response of pride to success. Something I did, right? So pridefully, we can find ourselves boasting. Hey, did you know? And sometimes we'll kind of throw it out in a subtle way so it's not quite so obvious. But boasting is often a response to something we did, some kind of success. And self-pity is often a response of pride to suffering. So I can be suffering and going through something, but I want to make sure everyone knows. Don, you got to know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard I have it, Don. Oh. Please understand, I'm going through. And that can be pride too. Boasting says, I deserve admiration because I've achieved so much. Look at what I've done. Right? And self-pity says, I deserve admiration, attention from you because I have suffered so much. Look what I'm going through. Look what I've went through. But still, we're drawing attention to ourselves. We're still exalting ourselves. So there's pride in both these, boasting and self-pity. Do you kind of see that? So boasting is the voice of pride in the heart of the strong, we might say. And self-pity is the voice of pride in the heart of the weak or struggling. Boasting sounds self-sufficient and confident. And self-pity sounds kind of self-sacrificing. But I think we have a hard time always recognizing it in ourselves or others, the pride that can be there with self-pity, because we see someone who has gone through difficult times. But also they're always drawing people's attention to that. There's still this prideful heart that's behind that. And someone said it's like the response of unapplauded pride. Okay, so next one, prideful, seeking vindication or revenge rather than waiting on the Lord, right? 1 Peter 5:6, we read that earlier, but therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, his timing right, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Proverbs 19:1, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger and his glory is to overlook a transgression. What is it in us that we want to seek vindication, seek justice, revenge or whatever, rather than stepping back and prayerfully waiting on the Lord, seeking his wisdom, letting him act, letting him reveal his perfect will for us? When we jump into these things, it can come from a very, very prideful place. How about this area of pride? Neglecting others. Pride prefers some people over other people, right? It honors those who the world would deem to be worthy of honor. It gives more weight to their words, their wants, their needs. And there's kind of a thrill in us when someone that the world has recognized as great, when that person recognizes us, is involved with us somehow, that, wow, that's amazing. You know, so-and-so, they asked me to come over and they showed me this, all their stuff, and told me about what they did, and wow, do you know who he is? Do you know what he does? And but then there's other people that we, in our mind, somehow deem a little less than. And these different values that we place on people, behind that oftentimes is this thing of pride. So consciously or unconsciously, you know, oftentimes we'll pass over the weak, pass over people that it's inconvenient to connect with or unattractive to us in some way. And sometimes we do all of that because they just aren't offering us. We think they just aren't offering us much. And so it's our pride and our selfishness, okay? How about this part of pride? Tending not to ask advice from others. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise, right? I know how to do this. I don't need you. The willingness to say, well, I might not have it quite right. Maybe I should talk to a few people and seek some advice and some counsel, wisdom in the multitude of counselors, right? But what keeps us from doing that? Oftentimes it's pride. I got this. How about the pride of, we kind of perceive humility as weakness rather than greatness. And the word says, Matthew 18:4, Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is greatest in the kingdom of God. But oftentimes, humility we see as something weak and not something to be desired. But again, truly, it is the strong person that is able to humble themselves. And the prideful person just cannot do that. How about this part of pride? Thinking highly about yourself so that you can maintain this good self-image rather than finding your confidence in Christ and the security of your identity that you should have in Christ. Okay? Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace that is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think of himself soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." We read that earlier. But we have a tendency to do that, to think of ourselves more highly than we should. And sometimes we're trying to drum up this persona of confidence and passion, and I'm okay, and I'm going to get through this. But if it's all self-generated, it can be just this prideful mess, and it goes nowhere because there's no real source, right? We need to go to the source. Well, how can I be confident? How can I feel blessed? How can I feel secure? It's because God is my Father, because the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, because I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the King. Those are the things, that's what we should feel good about ourselves. And just one more here. This is kind of seeking the world's wisdom or seeking our own wisdom, our own knowledge, rather than feeling like, oh, I need to go to the Father. You know, I can't trust the world. I can't even trust myself. I need to go to the Lord, and it is there that I know I can find wisdom. I can find truth. I can discover the depths about myself and the reality that I'm living in and what lies ahead and so forth. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," right? "And the knowledge of the Holy One, in the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Okay. So how are you doing so far? Do you feel guilty yet? I hope you do. Because all through the night I was feeling horribly guilty. But I run to my Savior, and He blessed me, and He says, "Yeah, Brian, you are guilty. I'm going to do a work in you. I'm going to do a work in you, brother, son." Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall." Proverbs 29:23, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." So I hope that, because again, I think we're so oblivious to these little intricate facets of pride that have lodged themselves in our mind and our hearts and our actions, our lives. I hope that you are struggling a little bit, and maybe you're willing to say, you know what, maybe pride is a bigger issue for me than I thought. And I hope that, like in Psalm 139:23, you would say, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen? That's a wonderful thing. You know, the grace of God, though we stray so easily, and we fall so often, and there's so many things that we deny or can't see. When we allow God to bring revelation and conviction, and we surrender to it, and we repent of it, and we run to Him, we have this God that receives us as sons and daughters, forgives us, and does this wonderful transformation, a renewing of our mind and our lives and our thinking and our daily acting out practicalities of our life. So praise God for that. So pride, think about it. Know it's a much bigger deal than maybe what we have thought. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're doing a work and exposing areas of sin that we have overlooked, or not been willing to address. Father, I pray that you really, truly would, with your word and spirit, lay us open. Do surgery. Lord, rip these things out of our minds and our hearts. Bury the old, and Lord, plant this new person deeply within us. Oh, Father, I pray that the fruit of the Spirit would well up within us, that we would walk in that power and exhibit that fruit, Lord, that we would truly be your sons and daughters in these end times, in these perilous times, that would realize that we need to be that bright and shining light. And for that to happen, Lord, I know we have to allow you to deal with our pride. And so we give it all to you. Thank you for loving us, for saving us, for being with us. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath.